And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting live from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. We've been on the air so long, I can't even remember when we started this or how many times we've done it, but at every occasion, your host is Mark Meek. Good evening, sir. Yeah.
Man, those red earphones just really set things off in here.
I do that just for your benefit, because I know they kind of wake you up.
You know, if you turn that spotlight you're playing with around and point it back at those, at yourself and those
headphones. As I told you, they were here when I came. I just hadn't replaced them. They're good headphones. So.
Well, you should have started off this program a little differently than you did.
Oh, I should have. Okay.
Yeah, you should have started off with, there's a whole lot of shaking going on.
Yes, indeed.
You know, Elvis. Jerry Lee Lewis going.
That's right.
Because there was an earthquake here today.
Well, that's at least what they say. I didn't feel it, but...
Well, what do you decide is 5 miles north of Wheeler?
Something like that. I believe the description that I read said it was 19 miles north of Shamrock. So that would put it about 4 or 5 miles north of Wheeler if we were measuring that.
Well, it actually, I've got the USGS feed here.
United States Geological Survey.
Yeah, and it's says Wheeler, Texas. I wonder how Shamrock got their name put in that.
I don't know. Maybe they're on the interstate, you know.
Yeah.
It is the crossroads of America.
Like yeah.
I-40 and Highway 83.
Yeah, so. I bet that hurt a few people's feelings around here.
Might have.
Yeah.
I know there's that
north-south thing. Between.
That north-south thing goes on.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. So it shows it to be a 2.8 in intensity and 5.3 miles deep in the earth.
Okay.
So...
It's a lot of footsies for you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. So we didn't start out with there's a whole lot of shaking go along.
Well, if you cued me in, I could have had that ready for you.
Maybe. Because we got a guest. And
I
we
know.
Were,
we're being nice.
We were being nice. And so Dal Copeland's on with us tonight.
Glad to be here.
He spoke.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Not really. It really makes me feel good, to be honest with you.
There you go. See, I wasn't shy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I come to church some days, and I don't have anything planned for tonight.
Right.
And I'll just think, Lord, just kind of point somebody out to me. I don't do this every time, but sometimes I do.
So is that what happened to me today?
Yeah, I told
him. And you kind of made that eye contact, and then it was.
Yeah, Annette asked me this morning on the way to church. She said, have you got a program for tonight? And I said, maybe somebody will show up at the church this morning. And so I turned around there and looked, and I thought, radio.
Yeah.
Dial.
Yeah, this is my first time to be on the radio, to be honest with you, so.
Well, man, I'll tell you what. That is some kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're breaking you in.
Literally.
He kind of has a voice for it, Jim. Do you notice
that? He does, and he doesn't know that he's starting big because we have a potential listening audience of over 500,000 people.
Oh, yeah, that just made it just that much
no
more
pressure.
Comfortable.
Now, no pressure whatsoever.
Right. Thank goodness they're not looking at me, so it's all good.
So is your family listening tonight?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Because I don't think my family knows that I'm here, so.
Oh. He was afraid to tell them.
Exactly, because then they would have turned it on and been like, oh my gosh, I know that hit.
They'd be poking at him. Oh, man. But anyway, we're glad to have you down.
Glad to be here. Absolutely.
And I don't know what we're going to talk about tonight. I just kind of like to lay back every once in a while and just talk about things and let people know who you are.
Well, my name is Dal Copeland. I moved to Wheeler, Texas, going on 4 years now.
4 years.
Yes, sir. So
your wife and my wife are related somehow or another.
Correct. Now, don't get me lying. How? I know they're related. We'll leave it at that because I could probably mess that up if I tried to figure it out.
Yeah, we don't need to go into that genealogy stuff, but just suffice it to say there's a little kinship thing there.
Exactly.
And I really didn't know you. I was needing a little help year before last.
Right.
And you had another job, and your wife suggested to my wife that you might be available after work.
Right. And then, I mean, just kind of got to know you through that, you know, helping you in the evenings when I'd get off my other job. And, you know, it's just great to come to a community like that where I can meet new people and, I mean, you know, feel more comfortable because, I mean, it's hard, you know, when you move to a town that, I mean, I honestly don't know, knew anybody when I moved here. So. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people knows who you are, whether they know, you know them or not. And, you know, I'll mention your name to somebody and then, oh yeah, I know Dal. So you're getting around.
Well, and I mean, that's good. I hope it's in a good way, you know, and not, you know, a bad way, but.
Yeah, well, it is good to be known in a good way.
We
didn't get your name out of the blotter or anything.
Right, right.
So, yeah. But your wife, Misty, and your daughter, Callie.
Correct.
And Misty is sort of she's a builder and a businesswoman on her own, isn't
she? Yeah, because, I mean, when we moved out here, she's always wanted to do a job working with her hands. You know, that's just something she dreamed about. So when we moved here, she started a kind of a wood sign business. Now it's just progressed in to furniture, just whatever.
Yeah.
Anything to do with wood, I mean, she's all in.
Yeah.
And just doing outstanding in it. And, I mean, the business is flourished. I mean, we give God the credit for that, you know.
Yeah.
He's blessed us so she can do something that she loves, you know, every day.
So she builds these beautiful cornhole, what do you call them? Cornhole boards.
Yep. And, I mean, she's built a lot of them. And, I mean, whatever you can dream of to put on it, she can get it on there.
Yeah. And what's kind of interesting, we're not going to hold this against you, okay, but you're from Oklahoma, right? Jim May.
That would be correct. Sorry about that. I apologize. I am not a native Texan, so.
Oklahoma is one of the best places in the world to be from.
From. Right. Now, I will say this. I am not. And let me repeat that. I am not an OU fan, so I'll just get that straight.
Okay, that's fine. You're welcome.
No, well, I sort of am.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that.
Well, I thought you were poking at me.
Well, you know, I'll be nice.
All right. Okay. So she's does the cornhole boards, and what I was going to say, y'all are from Oklahoma, and it's turned out that a lot of her business is back where y'all came from.
A lot of business. And it's gotten better here, but I mean, I'd say more than half is back where we moved from.
Yeah.
You know, so she's on the road a lot, you know, making deliveries and stuff. But I mean, that's just part of the business. You know?
So do you get involved in that woodworking?
No, sir. Okay. I do not do nothing with it.
So I asked you one time if you could weld.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember what you told me?
I can weld anything from a tin can to a broken heart. If that's the remark that you're asking about, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was fishing for. So you are I don't know exactly the word to use, but a master welder?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm a master or not, but I mean, I've done it for years. I mean, I say years. I'm not old enough to probably even say that, but, you know, I've done it for a long time, and I mean, I think I'm fairly good at it, but, you know, I don't like to brag, but.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've built a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Been very blessed in it, and, you know, my dad done it. He wasn't no, you know, professional or nothing, but, I mean, he built barns, lots, and. You know, being around him, learned it from a young age and just picked it up.
Yeah.
You know, and I enjoy it. I mean, I love building stuff kind of like my wife does with the wood, but I like with the metal.
Yeah.
You know, standing back and building something thinking, man, you know, I built that.
Yeah.
So
I was going to have a scripture for you tonight and I couldn't find it.
Right.
So, but it was the one that was over there when they built the tabernacle, and then it was again when they built the temple. But it talked about these people that were very skilled in certain things.
Right.
That built all these different parts. There was metal workers, there was stone workers, there was all these different workers that were very skilled, and the Bible says they were anointed to do those things. And so when I got to thinking about you and Missy, I thought they fit right into that scripture. It's sort of like you have a gift from God. There's anointing from God to do that.
Correct. Yeah, and I never really thought about it, nothing like that,
Well, I wished I had found that scripture, and I was going to show you. Maybe some of our listeners will text it to us. I'm kind of fishing for our listeners out there that know my text. Yeah. But about the time I was looking that up, I had somebody call, and I took a call, and then I never did follow up with it.
Never went back?
Yeah, I think I would eventually found it because I was using words that in a search, and they were the words I was putting in there, zero. So eventually I would have got to the right word.
Right, it eventually showed up.
I would have found it, but it's definitely in there. And so I thought about y'all when I thought about y'all, I thought about those scriptures.
Right.
So you just started a new job.
Started a new job this week.
Yeah.
Something that I've kind of been around, construction and stuff. I mean, I'm not no master at it by no means, but started helping a guy right here in Wheeler doing a construction, building barns and type stuff. So, very excited.
Yeah.
Ready.
Well, now, some of our listeners may be familiar with the guy you're working with, and that's Gage Angeli. And that's what I was going to say.
Cage
Jim just stole my thunder.
Oh, man, he just took the rug right out from underneath you.
Yeah, Gage and his wife Kim have been on several times with us. Yeah, three. And I would expect most people would remember them because they're really fun to have on. They go get it. They're pretty aggressive.
Yes, they are. They're fun to. They're good people, fun to be around. Mm-hmm. And it's been a good week.
Good.
I mean, it's been a blessing for
good.
Sure.
Good.
So,
well, I'm excited for y'all. I'm excited that's. I believe the Lord just got you right in his crosshairs, if you want to put it that way.
And that's kind of what, I mean, when all this other stuff perspired, and then Gage, I mean, I think God was answering prayers that, that I had, wanting something better, and the door was definitely open.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be a really good deal, and it's awesome to be around other Christians, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
So, y'all moved up here from Duncan?
Duncan, Oklahoma.
Duncan, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
And you worked in the oil field for a number of years.
I worked there at Halliburton at their manufacturing plant for 13 years.
So what did you do there?
So I started there building hydraulic hoses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I done that for about 3 years and then moved into the shop building the actual trucks. Electrician is what I was, wiring them and stuff. And then the last few years, I end up being a PGL, which is a production group leader.
Mm.
So, and when I left, that's what I was.
So what does that entail?
That was being a boss over about 50 workers there in the shop.
Yeah.
So, pretty high stress, pretty, had a lot of stuff on my plate. And for me, I didn't think I'd ever have the chance because, I'm not no college educated. It was high school and then straight to work.
Yeah.
So when I got the job, I was pretty, nervous, I guess, if I could do it. But they believed in me, and it really gave me a lot of experience and stuff that I was not comfortable with, and ended up being a good deal.
Yeah.
But it was definitely high stress because, you got 50 guys that you're trying to manage and, get your equipment out and stuff. So big responsibility.
Yeah. So, Dale, you were for a long time, y'all went back to church at Duncan. Y'all had a really good church down there that you were a part of.
Yes, sir. We were part of a church, Providence Baptist, there in, well, it's Meridian, which is between Duncan and Comanche. And, you know, I mean, it was hard for me. It really was, because I was deep in it. I mean, wanted to be in every aspect of the church. So when we decided to move, I mean, it was, I ain't kidding you, it was very difficult to leave that. Mm-hmm. You know, and every time we go back, which is, I mean, quite often, you know, but we still are tied in it as much as we can.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it, a big piece of me stayed back when I left.
Yeah.
You know, because when I moved here, and of course it's hard, you know, when you moved somewhere, trying to find a church. And I had the pastor's wife tell me, and I didn't believe her at the time. She was like, you won't find a church like here, you know, where I was saved.
Right.
And, I mean, it was hard, you know. And, I mean, we found this one, Cornerstone. And, I mean, and it's been awesome to come here because it gives me a little bit of that feeling that I had when I left.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So how old were you when you got saved?
Let's see, 34.
34.
So I wasn't, you know, and I mean, my life history kind of, I mean, we wasn't raised in church. My
yeah.
parents didn't go to church. We wasn't in it at all. What happens when we moved to Comanche, I met a, well, I call him, a, I mean, he's more like a brother to me, mm-hmm. more than a friend.
Yeah.
You know, he started coming and get me, taking me to church and stuff, you know, and I was always one of those guys. I mean, I didn't do a bunch of bad stuff, you know, but I was just, God was, I believed in him, but I just didn't want to, I guess, live for him or.
Yeah.
So my friend led me to him, you know, and I mean, he was talking about when he got saved, how important it was. It's like a birthday. He just remembered it. And so, and then that's what triggered me, kind of like, man, maybe there is more to this than what I'm realizing. So I was like, well, I went and got him that day. He talked to me and I was like, man, we got to talk to your dad. And his dad is the pastor of Providence. So that night I had to figure out something, so I went to his house and talked to him and got saved May 10th, 2012.
Wow. So how long have you and Misty been married?
Since 04 65. Yeah, 04.
So y'all were married before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, she's been in church her whole life.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we excuse me, we went to church. You know, and I mean, I know she prayed for me, you know, more than I realized.
Yeah.
You know, she was hoping she could lead me to the Lord, but I just never, it never clicked, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we went to church for years, you know, but it was my buddy. I mean, we were at work. I mean, he just come up there where I was working. We just got talking about it.
Yeah.
And then it just triggered in my mind that day, said, God was telling me, hey, you need to get your life right. You know, and I mean, it's been the biggest blessing in my life since then, you know.
I guess she is pretty excited.
Yeah, she was pretty much jumping over the moon, and it was a great day. It really yeah. was. Something that I'll never forget. I'll remember it till the day I die.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, we're glad you come around here.
Well, I mean, and it's been a blessing, you know, because, I mean, the more I'm out and the more people I meet, you know, and it's making me comfortable where I know people. You know, and I mean, and you know me as well. I mean, I can sit here and talk to you for 2 or 3 hours. We've done it before. Is what it is, right?
yeah. That's what this is a talk show.
So, I mean, we're very good at it, I can say. But, I mean, it's been nice. And, I mean, there's some great people in this community that I dearly love. I love seeing people and, I mean, Christian people. And, I mean, it's been good. It's been a good move.
So I invited you to go to the Christmas party with me. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir, I do.
And so, Jim, this is a funny story. And it's funny because we had a Christian comedian. Do you remember that one?
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, out at the Ag Center.
Yeah, so yeah. I forget what was going on. Anyway, Dal was helping me a little bit. And I said, hey, why don't you just go to the banquet, Christmas, or whatever they called it.
It was just a church Christmas party is all it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
We won't comment about the comedian.
Well, I'm going to talk about the comedian because That guy was the least funny guy.
He was
ever
as
saw.
Dry as watching paint cure. I mean, so.
And I was sitting there thinking, I invited Dow to come to this. But fortunately, he had a good sense of, Dow had a good sense of humor about it.
It was all good. And I got to meet a lot of people because, I mean, you know everybody in three counties, I think, or five. So it was kind of like I was royalty, you know, walking around. Mark was like, yeah, here's this person, there's this. And I thought, man, this I ain't never been treated like this. So yeah, I kind of enjoyed it myself.
Well, I was embarrassed, I'll have to say that. I was going, well, I shouldn't even ask him to come in. Yeah. So anyway, we're glad you're hanging around with us. But here's the other deal about Dow. And this is, you know, there's a scripture that says that nature reveals God. And he sends me the neatest picture sometimes of the sunsets or sunrises.
Yes, sir.
I don't get up with a sunrise, so if he sends me a sunrise when that's the only way I'm seeing it.
Now, Mark, you just burst my bubble. I was just certain you're one of those guys who gets out before the sunrise to go feed the cows.
You know? No, I stay till the sun goes down, but I don't get up with the sunrise. But anyway, he takes some of the neatest pictures. You have a good eye for that, and you take good pictures.
Well, and I mean, it's God's creation.
Yeah.
You know, every morning's a new day, a new blessing. So, I mean, whenever I wake up, and I'm an early morning riser. I'm up every day at 5 o'clock. So when I get up, I mean, and when I'm driving into Wheeler, I mean, I've got the perfect view for the sunrise. And, you know, normal sunrises, yeah, every day is a beautiful day. But there's just some days, I don't know, it almost brings a tear to your eye to look at it.
Yeah.
To know that we live for an awesome, mighty God that can create that, you know. And it's just same way in the evenings. You know, you can have bad day, good day, whatever. I mean, but then when you look at that sunset, it all goes away.
Yeah.
Because then it's the same deal. God created that for us. Yeah. So how awesome is it to sit there and, you know, and like I said, take a picture of it and send it to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what it might have done. I mean, you may have had a kind of off day, and that right there just may have turned it around.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't ever know how you're going to bless somebody through something simple.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, I was listening to a guy this week, and he was talking about, he shared a scripture about how that every man has a consciousness of God within him. And he shared that one night, and there was this guy came to him that he knew. It wasn't really like he was challenging him, but he said, you know, I was raised an atheist. And he said, I never had that happen to me. He said, my parents pounded that out of me, that there was a God. And he said, I don't believe until later in my life that I ever had that consciousness of God thing.
Right.
Well, he said that guy came back to him in about 2 weeks, and he said, you know, I was praying, and the Lord showed me when he came to me. And he said, I was raised in L.A., and he said one night just before sunset, he said there was a hill by my house, and I went up on that hill, and I was sitting there just watching the city and the sunset. And then he said, as I watched it, the lights began to come on in L.A. And how many lights would there be? I mean, millions.
Millions, probably, millions. Yeah.
And he said all those lights just started coming on. And he got to thinking, every one of those lights is connected to something to cause it to come on. Mm-hmm. It has to have an electric line. It has to have a switch. Every one of them's connected. And he said, I was just sitting there then, and he said it got dark. And all of a sudden, he said, I looked up and I saw the stars. And he said, I was looking at the stars, and the thought came to me. Every one of those lights down there had to have something that caused them to come on. And these stars had to have something also. They're connected. And so he said he went home and told his parents. He said, I think God turns those stars on. And his parents, he said, they beat it out of him. They just stayed after him. But he said, when I was praying, the Lord reminded me that time. He said, I was about 11 years old. So, you know, I think we've all had some kind of experiences like that in our life. And in sometimes they just have to be brought to our remembrance to remember them.
Right.
But those sunsets and sunrises, there's never one that's the same.
No, every one of them are different.
And every one of them fades away.
Yep. Fades away into the darkness.
And then the next day, there's another one, but it's different. And it's sort of like the manna that was, you know, in a way. If you try to keep it, you know, even a picture doesn't do justice to it. You don't have the depth. And maybe if you had really a great camera, it'd do a little better, but probably still wouldn't.
Still wouldn't do it justice to see it eye to eye. I mean, just with your own eye.
Yep.
You know. And I mean, that's one thing when I moved here, because when we lived in Duncan, we were on 2.5 acres of trees. So I never got to enjoy sunrise and sunsets because you just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So where I live at now, I mean, you can see for miles on end. So
I was just going to ask you, what is this tree thing you're talking about?
Yeah, what's
a tree?
Not
familiar with those things.
Yeah, let me tell you, if you go 3 hours to the east, there's a lot of them.
They're everywhere, right?
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I lived on 2.5 acres of solid post oaks. So.
I was down
welcome to West Texas.
Yes. Yeah. And I am enjoying it because there's no trees.
I hope you get really used to it.
I do. I mean, it's getting better every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we've covered a lot of territory here in about 30 minutes. So, I guess we're about ready to go home, Jim.
Well, just let me know, Mark.
You know, I was just thinking, coming down here, I thought, you know, we're probably in about 30, we got about 30 minutes of stuff that we can kind of carry through with. And then where do we want to go from there? How do we want to? And it's never wrong to talk about Jesus.
Never.
So I thought, you know, we're going to, the second half of the program, we can probably just talk about him and we'll just be doing fine.
Yeah. Because if you're mentioning his name, that's all he wants from us, is to grow stronger in him. And I mean, one thing that I've done in my life is trust him more.
Yeah.
You know, instead of leaning on my own strength, why don't I trust him? Mm-hmm. You know. And as humans, I know for me, I mean, I'm not speaking for everybody, but it's hard.
Yeah, we're used to leaning on our own. Yeah. Hey, what's that scripture in Psalms? Lean not to your own understanding.
Yep.
But in all your ways acknowledge him.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
I think we learned that. I think everybody just about learned that scripture somewhere or another along the way.
Exactly. You know, but I mean, that's one thing that we got to do is trust him, lean on him for everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's just, and it's kind of like Aaron Mercer said this morning, you know, I can't remember it exactly, but about the good. Or, you know, we're never down. You're either up or you're getting up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to try to remember that because, I mean, we're never down.
So he was using the word overflow.
Overflow. Yes, sir.
He comes out and he goes, we're an overflow church. And I, when I heard him say that, I thought, okay, what's he talking about? Is he talking about our church is overflowing with people? Or is he talking about we're all overflowing from the inside? And that's what he was.
Yep, that's what he was talking about. It wasn't that we're overflowing through the wall, you know, mm-hmm. but it was through that, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one thing that I want to try to do better, you know. You always hear, be the light. You know, mm-hmm. in a dark world, be the light.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to be humble in it, but I want people to notice a difference.
Yeah.
You know, hey, there's something different with that guy. What is it? You know, maybe one day somebody will ask, you know. Because that reminds me of a story when I worked at Halliburton. There was a guy, very hard to get, I mean, he just didn't say a lot. Well, every day I'd smile at him, say hi, you know, and I barely got a hi out of him. Finally, one day he stopped and asked, why are you so happy? Because I said, well, because God's good, you know. And then I got to talk to him. I got to share with him about God, you know. So mm-hmm. maybe I planted a seed, you know, maybe, you know, I don't yeah. know what it was that one day, but it finally made him stop and ask.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let me tell you, I think that was God. Something probably did. I mean, I believe it did happen in him.
Yeah.
Something was birthed in there.
Yeah, because, you know, every day, you know, it just wasn't breaking through. And then that one day, he was just like, okay, man, I got to know.
Yeah.
You know. I think God finally broke that barrier. And, I mean, it was a good, you know.
Yeah.
And hopefully it changed his life.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, Dale, along the way, there's a lot of those experiences.
Yeah.
And you look back at them and you go, oh, that's what was going on there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, like I said, you don't know how many lives you're changing.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't ever know.
Yeah. There's a lot of scriptures back up what you're saying. But, you know, the thing is, we're different than what we were.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the Bible says we're new creatures in Christ. And so, if we can't overflow, how's anybody ever going to know?
Right. I mean, how are they going to tell us from the world?
That's right. Yeah. And how are they going to receive anything? How are they going to, just like that guy that asked you what the deal was?
Right.
I mean, if you're not overflowing, he'd never know you were any different than anybody else.
Right. He'd have just walked by and never said a word.
Yeah.
And that conversation that we had that one day would have never happened.
That's right.
You know, and I mean, it really stuck with me. And I mean, other stuff, I mean, other stories. I mean, I've got a handful of them where I changed somebody's life and didn't even know it till years later.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think I was influencing anybody because, like I said, I didn't get saved until I was 34.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I was like, well, who am I influencing?
Yeah.
You know, I was an unsaved person. But there was a lot of stuff, how I was living, it changed somebody to the good.
Yeah.
Just because what they seen in me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not bragging on myself. Don't get me wrong. It's right. all God. He gets all the glory for everything, but
yeah.
it's just him working through us, you know.
Don't you, during that time before you received Christ, could you feel God working inside of you?
I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, but I was kind of blinders on, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, excuse me. I just didn't see it because, I mean, back before I got saved, I mean, if anybody knew me before I was saved, I mean, I guess a horrible deal that I did, I cussed like a sailor. Mm-hmm. Not proud to say it, and now I won't say, you know, you'll never hear one come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, so I just didn't think, when I got saved, I thought, man, I did that a lot, you know.
It never dawned on you, did it?
No, it never did.
Yeah.
You know, I just never had that conviction that, hey, you're doing wrong, mm-hmm. you know, until I got saved. And then I was like, man, that new creation, you know, I'm born again, so I need to start doing right.
So what did your wife think about your cussing?
She didn't like it. She,
excuse me. I didn't figure she did.
Which I mean, around her, I tried to control it as much as I could. You know, it wasn't like it was just every other word, but
yeah,
you know, yeah, I definitely got some dirty looks and some you're going to sleep outside if you don't quit, you know. So.
She was God in your life there.
Yeah, she was like, you know, the finger, yeah, hey, that's enough. Okay. So.
You know, one day, this is a kind of a crazy story, but my wife and I had gone to Shattuck, Oklahoma to the dentist. And there was a little restaurant right there, and it was just when the oil field was getting started good. And so we go in this little restaurant, and there's probably 25 to 30 people in there. And there was some Halliburton guys sitting over there.
Don't tie them guys to me now.
I was trying to see if you were the one.
No, it wasn't me. I never left that manufacturing building, so.
So this guy was sitting over there, and he was using some really foul language, and he was loud. He was really loud. And we were sitting all the way across the room, and you know, you could just tell he'd been really obnoxious.
Right.
And so here in a little bit, I just looked at him. I said, "Hey, buddy." He goes, pointed at me. And I said, "Yeah." I said, I forget exactly what I did say, but I said, basically, you know, we can do without your foul language that you're using over there. And that guy, it surprised him because he didn't realize that was much his vocabulary, that he didn't realize that it was. And, man, he quietened right down.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, that's like even when I was doing it. I mean, it just becomes your vocabulary. You really don't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get to that point that you're like, who's around? You know, you can't even control it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like when I got saved, I told myself from then, hey, you've got to quit.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not perfect. I still sin just like any other person, you know. But by the grace of God, I've gotten better in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now, like I said, in it, I won't ever say one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But, well, you know what? The Bible says you take off the old and put on the new.
Right.
And the new man's much more pleasing.
Oh, well, and I mean, it's just been overflowing, you know, and it's like the church deal that we were talking about. It's like when you get saved, you know, when you, you know, going to a church, then you want to do stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me to do anything in that church. It's because I wanted to serve God.
Yes.
You know, and that's what people need to realize. It wasn't, hey, you need to come here and do this. I seen the blessing in it, and I was like, man, it felt so good to go and do God's work.
Yeah.
You know, now is it mowing the yard or is it doing this or whatever? It just gave you that joy in your heart to, hey,
yeah,
this is God's house. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get that mixed up and they think that somehow or another they're getting points with God. But you know what? It's what's going on the inside of you, just like the joy that you receive.
Right.
From doing it. That's better than points with God. He's already done all he's going to do.
Right. You know? I mean, he did it all for us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to do a little minute, you know, part to glorify him.
Because we love him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, it's just like the scripture. I mean, he died for us. He went to that cruel rug across and shed all that blood for us.
Mm-hmm.
So how come we can't do just a fraction to show him?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the reason I try to live my life for him every day. Not perfect, but striving to be.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what? When you get that perfect part figured out, I want you to come talk to me and Jim so that we can figure it out.
I'll get back to you with that one.
All right. I don't think we have to worry about him coming around.
Hey, I was going to say, you're probably not going to look forward to that one.
I don't expect we're going to see him anytime soon.
No, no.
Yeah, he'd probably, instead of shorts and a cowboy hat, he'd probably have on a three-piece suit and have his hair.
Hair, what's left up there.
Slick back. And he'd be talking King James.
Mark with a full head of hair making fun of me and you.
Like that. There you go.
King James English.
Yeah, don't ever look for that one.
We wouldn't be pleased with what we found, I don't think. And probably the Lord wouldn't either.
No. You know, and I mean, that's one thing that, you know, we strive for perfection, but we won't ever be perfect.
You know, that's exactly right. And here's the big deal, though. In all that, God is pleased with us.
Right.
He's not displeased with us. Mm-hmm. He's pleased with us. He's pleased that we received Jesus into our life. He's pleased that we're following the leadership of the Spirit. He's pleased with that. So, you know, all of a sudden we're not man pleasers, we're God pleasers.
Right. Correct. And see, that's where the biggest part of my life, I was a man pleaser.
Yeah.
I was trying to please other people.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, then you get to the point, you're like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm never going to do this.
You're never going to make it, are you?
Right. I mean, you're going to fail miserably.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I was always chasing the almighty dollar, like anybody else. Bigger and better. What else can I get?
Yeah.
You know, and then you get to a point in your life, you're like, well, they're not going to dig a hole and put all this stuff in there. I'm not taking it to heaven.
Yeah.
I come in this world naked, I'm leaving the same way. So why not put my trust and faith in God and live for Him and just be happy?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm blessed beyond belief. And if you don't believe it, just, I mean, look around.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, we got our problems, whatever. But they're nothing to compare to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing I realized in my short time is just be content with where you are and what you have.
Yeah.
You know. And moving out here, I've gotten even more content. And I mean, I just look at what we have and, I mean, just blessed.
Yeah.
You know. When I can step off my front porch and look off in that valley and see cattle bawling and see those pretty sunrises and sunsets, man, life's good.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you made a really good point there, is that contentment is a lot different than happiness.
Correct.
It is. Happy's kind of something that kind of fades away with circumstances.
Correct.
And so you have to have another something, another, to be happy again.
Yeah, because 6 months, where's the happiness?
Yeah.
Well, now it's gone, so now I got to go buy something else to make me happy.
Yeah. But with contentment, that's something that is long-lasting. I'm content. I don't care what I have. If my new boat just blew up, I'm still content.
Right.
I was happy with the boat. I'm unhappy that it blew up, but I can still be content.
Correct.
That one out.
Yes. I mean, that's a big one. I mean, everybody looks at those people that got the money and, you know, they're thinking, oh man, those people have got it all figured out. They're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're happy for 6 months, but you really look at their life. Are they truly happy, or are they just living in that moment?
Yeah.
You know,
most people are living in the moment.
You know, I want that peace. I want that joy in my heart and that contentment. That's what I strive for.
So there's a scripture about that. And actually, if I spell contentment right, I'm going to be aggravated if this says. it pulled it up. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
There you go.
Great gain.
Great gain.
Godliness with contentment.
So see right there, I mean, that explains it all.
Yeah.
So why do you need money and all that, all the toys and all that?
Yeah.
Right there's telling you right there in the scripture.
You know, the more you have, the more work it causes you.
Correct.
You know, let's say you buy a new house. Well, upkeep starts on it the moment you move in it. And so then after a while, it's an old house. So what you got to have a bigger house because you just start following those trails.
Yep.
And that's the way we are. We, get a new car. Well, after a little while, they changed models, and they've got a lot more stuff on them. And then you're at the dealership more, getting them worked on, because yep. there's more stuff to tear up.
Yep.
But we just want more, we just want that. I mean, it's the lust of the eye.
It's horrible.
I think everybody experiences that at some point in time.
Oh, I know they do. And if they don't, they're lying to themselves.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can ask anybody, I mean, in this town, in my own hometown, I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
You know, it's your, that lust is, to me, just, it's there all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and they're always looking at somebody else, what they have, or what this and that, and then pretty soon, you're not even living for God anymore because you're trying to live for what that person's got.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it...
Yeah. You know, it's a deep hole to live your life trying to live like the Joneses.
Exactly.
Isn't that the old saying?
Yeah.
They're living like the Joneses.
Yep, exactly.
And the Joneses are over there trying to live like somebody else.
Yeah, they don't even want that life.
And then that the person they're trying to copy after, living after, and so you just it's like a rat race.
Yeah, I mean you're never ending.
Yeah,
because like I said, you're thinking, hey, the Joneses got it figured out, man. They're yeah. right there.
Yeah,
and the Joneses is like, no, they ain't got it. We're wanting this yeah. over here.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's never an end.
Yeah.
You know, you're just constantly chasing your tail. For what?
So, you know, what we were talking about was the overflow, living out of the overflow. And sometimes you don't want to live out of other people's overflow.
No.
You want to live out of God's overflow.
Correct.
And because it says, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's the overflow. So we got to be careful as we go through life. We'll get our focus on the wrong things.
Yeah. And it can happen to Christians, I mean, just yeah. as fast as yeah. the people of the lost world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Christians every day that get caught in that trap.
Yeah.
You know, because they see that, and I mean, you got to keep your mindset, hey, I'm good, I got to live in that contentment, back off.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I tell you what, Dale, we're talking about some stuff here that's just pretty practical for people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take this opportunity to brag a little bit, but next Sunday's our 50th wedding anniversary. And, you know, there are just a lot of people in this time that we live in, and they're not satisfied with their husband or their wife.
Mm-mm.
And man, I tell you what, that's a quick road to divorce right there.
In a heartbeat.
And listen, I want to tell you, the next model you get is not going to be any different than the first model. There may be a different problems, but you're going to have problems with the next one. You better get problems worked out with the first one and just stay stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's the truth, though.
Yeah.
Because everybody looks at a marriage, you know, and I mean, yeah, first couple of years, yeah, it's all good. Life's good, you know. And then when you get into, I mean, even like ours, 5 years, you know, that's when it starts hitting those rough roads and you really got to dig down deep.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I made that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said the vow. Excuse me. Can I stick with it?
Yeah.
Till death do us part.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, in this day and time that we live in, those vows don't mean a whole lot.
No, they ain't no more than just
yeah
trash out there in the trash can, yeah. essentially.
And you know, somehow or another, we got to get back to the point where, hey, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I can remember when we got married 50 years ago and we were dating, and there was this attitude out there that, well, we'll give it a whirl. We'll give it a try. And if it doesn't work out, we can just get a divorce.
Right.
And I kind of thought that way a little bit. You know, if she doesn't, if she's doesn't like me or I don't like her, we just get a divorce. And then when, as we got closer to the wedding, and we, I got the thing about wedding vows and everything, that, that thought started changing.
Right. Started kind of switching.
I started thinking, and you know, she was, Annette was talking to me about how that, that was a vow before God and your relatives and everybody else, and it was real, and it was something that we were going to live by.
Right.
And I started, yeah, that's right. But see, I was letting the world influence me over here.
Yep.
And it, I had to have somebody to pull me back.
Right.
Get me on the right track. And here we are 50 years later, and we've got two children, six grandchildren, got a good business. You know, those things are, you stay together and keep on trucking like that, there's a natural prosperity that's ordained into that.
Yeah, exactly.
And after a while, things are going to really start ginning for you.
Yeah.
You, after you've been married 25 years, things will really start ginning. So I just want to encourage people, and I'm not trying to put any kind of guilt trip on anybody that's gone through a divorce, but, you know, we're always starting from where we're at.
Correct.
We can't go back and fix the past.
Past is already gone.
It's done, gone, but we can live our life out going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the vows you make with your spouse, I believe, are next to your commitment to Jesus, is going to do more in your life than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like I said, you got to work at it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just call calf rope every time the road gets rough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to dig down deep and and work at it.
And you know, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been a lot of tough places in the road. There's been a lot of times when it would have been easy to call it quits. It would have been a, it would have been, for either one of us, it would have been easy to do.
Right.
But somehow, you know, you just got to suck up and keep a trucking.
Yep. Keep on going.
Keep on going.
Yep. Kind of like old John Wayne, grab a root and growl.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, we're having a big blowout next Sunday to celebrate our 50th. I hope somebody shows up.
Well, I'll be there.
You know, I told somebody the other day, I said that I had this neighbor that was selling these hay beds.
Mm-hmm.
And they, anyway, I don't know. They weren't catching on very good. And I had another neighbor tell him, said, you know, if you don't quit selling those hay beds, you're going to have to hire people to be your pallbearers at your funeral. And I told him, I said, that may be the way our 50th wedding anniversary.
You might have to start going
have to go out and start paying people to show up.
Well, you'll have one person there. I can guarantee you that.
But we're going to bribe you with cake.
I'm all in.
We'll have cake.
Yeah, I'm in.
Have different kinds of cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all in on the food.
There we go. So, you know, I guess I just invited everybody that's listening.
Yeah. Yeah, you may have to get more cake. You know, you never know.
Yeah, if you drive very far, we'll be sure you get a piece of cake.
There you go. We'll set some back.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's exciting. It's fun. You have to consider your wife and the mother of your children, your helpmate, your lover, all those different aspects of who your spouse is.
Mm-hmm.
And how important they are in your life. You you know, everybody else, you're going to go home, you're going to shut the door, and they're going to be outside, and you're going to be inside with your wife and children, and you're going to be doing family.
Correct.
And you've got to honor that and realize that that is so important in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just gave my marriage I was thinking about doing a marriage conference, but I just did it all. Everything that I know about marriage, I just did it.
Bam, you just threw it all out there on the line, and it's there. Free for the taking.
Yeah, well, I'm glad Annette's not here to throw in her 2 cents worth, because it would probably be a little different.
Yeah, we won't go there.
You know, I've noticed something through the years. I might not want to say that. That might really get me in trouble. I thought of a spark of wisdom just zipped through my mind right there.
Come in there lightning fast.
Some things you had noticed through the years, you better keep secret.
Right. You better not say that one. Moving on.
Yeah. But we're going to have a good time. So hopefully a lot of friends will come out and say hello to us.
And yeah.
Get pictures and all that good stuff.
Hopefully it'll be a fun time.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Will be. You know, we never have been one to have parties or anything much, but we had a 50th birthday party for Annette. And then this, and that's about the only celebrations we've ever done.
Wow. And
so we're not ones that have spent a lot of time on birthday parties and anniversaries and everything.
Right.
Now, Annette probably holds me at fault for that. So I look back, I probably should have got her some kind of present every time, but I didn't.
Right.
So, you know, I'm probably at fault for that. For all of our listeners out there, I confess that I was probably wrong about that. So,
yeah.
Look back over the time, and I'm going, I should have done this, but it's too late now.
Right, you can't change the past. Life goes on. Yeah, that's one thing you cannot do is rewrite history.
So. Yeah, we can't do it. What is the old saying? You can't put spilt milk back in the bottle.
That's right. That is so true.
So you can put toothpaste back in the tube. I've done it. So
you've done that.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to see a video of that one.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was pretty, but I've done it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's also one of the things they say.
I can see that more than milk, maybe.
Yeah.
Once milk's out, it's pretty much gone.
Yes.
Well, guys, we're about out of time. So did you think you'd make it for an hour?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a very enjoyable evening. I've truly enjoyed it.
I've loved it.
So it was a lot easier than I thought. I'll say that.
Well, you've got a great voice for radio, and you got a quick wit, so that's always...
That means you may get invited back.
Yeah,
again.
You might. Hey.
On short notice, probably.
Yeah, come on. I'm always up and ready.
All right, Dal Copeland, our guest for tonight. Hey, everybody, we'll be back next week with another program. Until then, good night and God bless.
Good night, everyone.